Weakest parsha is Vayakhel, and the parsha begins with an introduction regarding Shabbos, which of course is the source from where we learn about the Lama Tes Malachos. And let's just read those couple of psukim, and then we'll look at the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim has several comments on Shabbos, which will take us through mostly the first page and a little bit on the next page. Vayakhel Moshe, we're on page 516 of the Chumash. Vayakhel Moshe is called Das Bnei Yisrael Yom Ralehem. Elad Rima Shetzivah Hashem La'asos Osam. So Moshe gathers the people, and he tells them these are the things which Hashem commanded to do. Sheishes Yamim Te'aseh Melacha. Note, we're going to see that the word is Te'aseh. What is Te'aseh? How do you translate Te'aseh? Okay.
We'll have done.
So, right. So our scroll says, for example, on 6 days, work may be done. It's an okay translation. Te'aseh, work will be done, as opposed to ta'aseh, like you shall do. Okay, so there is that distinction which we're going to hone in on. Uvayom ha-shvi'i, and on the seventh day, yelachem kodesh, it will be sanctified, it will be special, it will be separate, holy, however you want to define the word kodesh. Shabbat shabbason l'ashem, special day of Shabbat l'ashem, kol ha'osebo melacha yumas, anyone who does melacha will die. And that death, by the way, typically is defined as being a misa bidei shemaim, but there are circumstances, of course, as we know from the story of the Mekosha Eshetzim, the wood gather at the end of Parsha Shlach, where they put him to death. Lo tzavar ruish b'chol moshav osechem yom Shabbos. Do not kindle fire in any of your dwellings. And of course, that's the mucker for why you should never buy your children to kindle fire. Okay. Now,
is the sellos?
I have no idea. That was a joke that I came up with about 6 or 7 years ago. And for whatever reason, I still repeat it.
It's like a tablet.
It's a fancy kind of Kindle, I think. You know, Kindle is like what people use as a book reader. Anyway, it's a bad joke. It's a bad joke. Okay, let's take a look at the Or HaChaim. Eila HaDvarim. Tzor Ladas Omero Eila HaDvarim. We've got to understand what it means when he says, these are the things that Hashem commanded. Masechta Shabbos Darsh Mikan Rabbi Tamat Tes Lamed, which means Lamed Tes 39 Melachas, Kminyan Eile. Right, if you look at the word Eile, the Gematria, the word Eile is 30 plus 1 plus 5 is 36. Okay, Dvarim is a plural. Plural means by definition at the very least two. So Eile is 36 and Dvarim equals 2. Hadvarim Gimel. So the fact that it adds the letter A means 3, and therefore you get to 39. Okay, was that Derek Drash? He says, was that Derek Drash?
Hey, it's 5.
Yeah,
whatever,
no,
it's fine.
No. Oh, no. He's saying, no, Dvarim is 2, and Hadvarim equals, no, you don't count, you only count Gematria in the word Eile.
Okay,
all right. What do you mean? Just say, these are the things that Shetziv Hashem. What do you mean, La'asososam? If Hashem commanded, then obviously a commandment is to do. The ode, Kevin Shalom or Mitzvah Zo, Elohim and Shabbos, Ekut Stak Gemari Love, Ta'asu, or Te'asu. Well, the word, I mean, neither of those words appears here, but the point is that it's a tzivui. So if it doesn't say in the mitzvah, except for Shabbos, how can you say that these are things that you should do? I mean, Shabbos means to rest. Chayin's Baruch Pi Devarim. Based on the Gemara in Harius, Daf Ches Min Alef, Sha'amru B'Pasuk, Ki, that's probably Ki Sishgu.
Tisigu?
No, it's Ki Sishgu, and it actually should be V'chi Sishgu. V'chi Sishgu, V'los, Asu, Eis Kol Mitzvos Eile. I know that, it's from my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. I'm pretty sure. Okay? Shekol Amode B'Avod Azara, Ki Kofer B'chol HaTorah. Okay? Ki Sishgu, when you make a Shkaga, right, when you do a Shogeg, and you admit or you accept in some way Avodah Zarah that you are going against the whole Torah. May I tell you, Netzirichin Kol Yisrael attacking Kol Tariag Mitzvos, right? Kisish Gubel Los Asu Eis Kol Mitzvos Eile. That's the pasuk in Shlach. Kisish Gubel Los Asu Eis Kol Mitzvos Eile. You're not going to do all these mitzvos. What mitzvos are we talking about? Well, there it's because a person does Avodah Zarah. It's like Kofer B'chol Torah Kula. Somebody who's going against all the Torah. Asher Pagmo B'chulan. They tainted all of them. He says, but that's something which is so difficult for us to comprehend. Like that's the reason for the commandment about Shabbos. Amruzal, Shakel Shabbos Kenega Kol Torah. So the rabbis say in Shmos Rabbah that Shabbos is equivalent to all Torah. So he says that Shabbos essentially is the antidote to Avodah Zarah. Right? If they do have a zara, they're going against all the Torah. You keep Shabbos, it's as if you've kept all the Torah. Perush lashon tikun. He says what Moshe is saying is that these are the things that Hashem commanded for you to do. To do them is to correct things, to correct all the pigamim, all the flaws. Shabbat Israel. Umayim advarim. And so, what are the things that people should do? Sheishes yamim. Right, v'gomer means you got to read the finish the rest of the pasuk. Sheishes yamim tesei malacha. 6 days work shall be done. The seventh day should rest, etc. Anyone who does malacha, you must. V'yom ashvi'i. V'zeh yisheshev mashkasha od. Okay, and through that we understand that, in other words, that the idea of working 6 days and then resting on the seventh is a tikkun for any avodah zarah. How? Because you're doing exactly what God did. What's the whole point of 6 days you shall work and on the seventh day you rest?
Emily
God. V'zeis yashay mashkasha od lama chazar od litzavos al Shabbos achas shekvar tziva kam pamim. So we have another question. You know how many times Shabbos appears in the Book of Shmos? It appears in Parashas B'Shalach. It appears in Parashas Yisro. It appears in Parashas B'Shpatim twice, I think. It appears in Parashas Kisisa. Okay, and now it appears in Vayakel. We got it. Okay, so why does it keep on repeating it? Also, why is it being mentioned specifically next to Mishkan? Devarinu Yavol Nachon. And so now he says, we understand. Yitzav Hashem al tikun ha'avar. God is commanding about how to fix up the past. K'deishu muksharin l'shkom b'socham, so that they will be prepared and ready for God to dwell among them. Right? The whole point of the Mishkan is v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. And so how are you worthy and ready for God to be present amongst you is if you know about Shabbos. V'mitzvah Shabbos l'shkul l'kachol ha'torah hi takonas avodah zarah. Right? Yishayahu Nunvav is the Haftorah that we read on a fast day. Ashrayanu Shiasazos, right? Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. You gotta remember to read it correctly. Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. One who keeps Shabbos from violating it. I hate it when somebody says Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. Somebody who Shomer Shabbos says Mechalalo. It's like Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. Okay, so. But that's who's praiseworthy, right? Because it's shkula, it's called arkula, and it goes against, right, those who are violating.
This is incredible, because I always had the question. I heard avodah zarah is right, keneged. It says if you're koyer for everything.
So what's
and
the
I heard Shabbos
right.
is mechaber for everything. This explains it all.
Right. Midorshu zal called shomer Shabbos kilchasa filu over avodah zarah kador enosh mochlin lo. By the way, and that's the kicker. He quotes this gemara in Shabbos, who says that anybody who keeps Shabbos. Even if the person of avodah zarah, like the generation of Enosh, Shabbos is the tikkun. Shabbos can fix it. Okay, you know that's the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, right? With a guy who's like an apikaris, and he's mechal Shabbos of Harhesia on purpose, and comes into the room, and the Chafetz Chaim talks to him, and the guy disappears. Nobody ever knows what happens to him. The Chafetz Chaim. You know, emerges after 20 minutes. And later on, they come and they say, what did the guy say? What did the Chafetz Chaim say to you? And he says, with tears in his eyes, he just said one word over and over again. Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Okay, Oydi Sparapi Devrei Hamzal.
I was hoping he would say something. I'm sure you've all heard this.
Oydi Sparapi Devrei Hamzal. Rabbi Elazar Barparta Omer, Minayin Shkol, Mishamer Shabbos, Malam Elokilu Asa'o. Okay, how do you know that somebody who keeps Shabbos is as if asa'o? I don't know what he means when he says asa'o, but as if he did it. Tachsiv, yeah. Shamru, Bnei Yisrael la'asos es ha'Shabbos, right? La'asos es ha'Shabbos. So when they keep it, it's la'asos. Bnei, but Parshas Kisisav, Rashi, Drachim Rabim, Bamro, la'asos es ha'Shabbos. That's the, B'Shamru is in Parshas Kisisav. That was what we saw last week. We didn't see it here. But in other words, in the Parshas, we saw. V'hum roi, Eila advarim. Okay, so when you look at the pasuk and it says Eila Dvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam, what is the commandment that God? What are the things that God commanded to do? The answer is do Shabbos. Okay, so that's another element of just taking the reins on Shabbos. That when you have Shabbos, don't just make it through Shabbos, but live Shabbos, experience Shabbos, do Shabbos. make Shabbos special, right? Our mitzvah of Shabbos is not just for Shamru, but l'kadesh, to make it into something which is above me on. Yes, Shabbos is resting, not doing malacha. What is the thing that you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be doing a ma'asa, which will get you a reward. And what's the reward? It's the reward of Shabbos. He says, I also talked about it. He spoke a lot about Shabbos in last week's parsha. So Eila, and it says these are the things. The point is to negate the dugma, the example which you have in Shmira Levad. That Eino Kibachinas Maisa, right? In other words, Veshamru, that was what we saw in last week's parsha. Veshamru, Meisos Shabbos. So there is an element of Shmira, guarding, being careful. Now he's actually giving us an action. Eilad Vorim Shetzivash and Lasososam. Shamru is withdrawal, right? Shamru Neisos Shabbos, Lasosos Shabbos, Torosam, Bris Olam. That's one thing. And now it's Lasosos Shabbos. Okay, Lasosos Shabbos in a different way. Lasos Osam. And how do you make Shabbos? Well, the contrast of making Shabbos is that you have 6 days of avoda, 6 days of working, 6 days of malacha, and then comes Shabbos, and you make Shabbos into something special, okay, which is different than Shmira. So I don't know if he's, you know, making it to the next leap and saying this is Zechira, this is how you remember Shabbos, but again, it's a comparison, because if the opening question was, hey, we've talked about Shabbos enough, so there needs to be a chiddush here, and the chiddush here is the contrast of just not just making Shabbos by guarding it, but by having Shabbos be a follow-up to 6 days of Malacha. I don't think that is mentioned the same way in Parshas Ki Tisa. Finally, Al Pi HaMidrash Shamru, Ki Amar HaKadosh Baruch LeMoshe, HaKel Kilos, Drosh Barabim. Okay, this is a Midrash from the Alkot Shemoni, in which the Alkot Shemoni describes the importance of gathering people on Shabbos and basically giving a drasha. So I don't have to read that inside, but he says that the learning which is done on Shabbos, making Shabbos special, is meant to be a source for mischaprim kolav and osam. If people take heed to that which they learn on Shabbos through these kehilos, hakel kehilos, the drosh barabim, the gathering of communities, and the drushes which take place in public, that is to the benefit of them and it's to the benefit of Shabbos. Shabbos grows, they grow. It's all very good. Okay, now we move on to the next pasuk, and we're going to get to your question about Teaseh. Sheshesimim Teaseh. Tam zikaron asiyas v'lacha b'me'achol. Okay, the reason for...
I wonder if this osam has anything to do with what
you're saying about asiyah. Yeah, I don't know. He certainly doesn't mention, make any connection in that direction. Tam zikaron asiyas v'lacha b'me'achol. And the reason for remembering to do malacha in the weekday, ulai shechaven lamar, maybe it's coming to tell us, she'im ye yom zayin kodesh te'aseh hamalacha atzrich halacha b'sheshes yamim. Okay, remember, te'aseh means it will be done. It says, if you keep Shabbos in that merit, your work will be completed. Okay, so when you think about, I mean, listen, you know, it's hard to make it like an equation of causality, right? You think about the people, for example, in the early 20th century in America, came to America and they kept Shabbos, and others did not keep Shabbos, and you know they got fired. So what does that mean? Well, hopefully it means that things eventually turned around and that it ended up becoming a boon. Boon is like a plus, right?
Yeah.
A boon to them, and not and something which they were paid back for. Ba'ilam azeh, and certainly ba'ilam abba.
They paid back with their kids because yep. Their kids saw them and
right.
And they're emulating them.
Yep. Oh, yirtzeh kasuv la'asar meleches Shabbos be'nag de'atzma be'nag de'goy. Or maybe what the pasuk is doing is it's telling us that melech on Shabbos is totally forbidden, whether by the Jew or by a goy. V'u'amro she'eshes yamim te'aseh b'tzeirei. Okay, so he's explaining to us exactly how to read the word te'aseh, that has an A under the tav. Okay, Perishti en nases, which means that it will be done. Aval b'yom ha-shvi, afil de'acherim ein lecha la'asos. Right? Sheshes yamim te'asem lecha, your work will be done over 6 days, but on the seventh day, it shouldn't be done at all. And that's a source for the idea, which is in the Mechilta, that telling a guy to do something on Shabbos, which is forbidden, that is forbidden by the Torah. It doesn't say b'sheshes yamim, it just says sheshes yamim, k'dei shelo tit'eh k'yesh mitzvah ba'asiyas melach b'hem. So this is interesting. I wasn't sure how to read this when I first looked at it. So that you should not make a mistake. See, now what does the word ki mean?
If or because?
See, that's why I wasn't sure what he was trying to say.
Perhaps.
He says, you should not make a mistake because there is a mitzvah. If ki means because, it would mean because there is a mitzvah in doing malacha on those 6 days. So is he saying that there is a mitzvah to work for 6 days? Or is he saying, Kadesha lo tadek, yesh mitzvah, that you shouldn't make a mistake and think that there's a mitzvah of doing malacha for 6 days?
I like the first one.
I like the first one better.
Yes, right.
Right.
Where is the word key?
In the bottom over here. Bottom of
In other words, I'm trying to understand what the Orach Chaim is saying.
No, correct.
It's not in the pasuk. You're correct. I'm trying to understand what the Orach Chaim is saying. When he says that sheshes and not bisheshes, is he saying that it's really a mitzvah to do malacha for 6 days?
I like because. I'm going with because.
Okay, I think so too. I think that's what he's saying. I think that that's what the word ki usually means. I mean, again, it does have other meanings, but I like to think that that's what he's saying, that there is a malacha, not bisheshes imim, that over the course of the 6 days, you know, you should find a way to do some work. He's saying, no, there's actually a mitzvah to work 6 days. Old Yermos, Kilo Yakub Sheshimim Lacham, Asherkinam Lashem Lasos, Ella Im Yamashvi Lachem Kodesh. And he's saying that the 6 days of work, Hashem only gave them to you to be days of work if the seventh day is a day of rest, is a day of Kodesh. Avalim Lo Yishmur Shabbos, Lo Yu Asheshimim, Ki Shabbos Hu Nefesh Ki Maolam. He's saying, if you don't have Shabbos, then those 6 days are worthless, meaningless. They'll cease to exist, because Shabbos is the nefesh, is the soul of the existence of the world, as we saw in Parshas Bereishis. Yes, I mean, I just think that that's a phenomenal and really an incredible perspective to have on what it means to have 6 days of work and a seventh day of rest. And it's not just something which is, you know, some metaphor, hokey dokey kind of thing. But it's practical. 6 days are meant to be days of work, creative labor, people getting out and doing things. Asos, right? Te'asem lacha. And on the other end of the week, having Shabbos and making it kodesh, and therefore elevating the week as well through that. Okay, now the parasha continues after this, and Moshe says to the people, Zad davar asher tzivah Hashem l'emor, this is what Hashem commanded, and he describes what the truma is that the people need to bring. Okay, and it goes through a lot of information. We know this information before. One of my favorite insights.
Well, to sum it up for me,
So all of the ingredients we've seen before in Parshas Truma and in Parshas Tetzaveh, but now it's time for the people to actually bring in that which they had made as a truma, in other words, as a donation, but now they're going to be bringing it in order to make all the items which are listed here on page 516 and the top of 518, all the pieces of the Mishkan which are required in order to make it happen, including the Big Day Kahuna. Okay, Pasuk Chaf, Vayitzu kol adas bnei Yisrael, on page 518, Vayitzu kol adas bnei Yisrael lefnei Moshe, all of the Adas bnei Yisrael, they went out from in front of Moshe. And then we have just some interesting psukim here. I'm going to read two more psukim. Vayavo kol ish asher nisa olibo, every man whose heart, let's say, was raised or raised him, b'chol asher nadavar rucho, and his spirit raised him, heviu eish trumas Hashem l'mlechas olmoy, they brought their truma, right, their donation for the work of the Mishkan, ulchol avad asol, and for all the service, and for the big day kodesh, for the kohanim clothing. Vayavau ha'anashim al hanashim. This phrase is just fascinating, because what does it mean? And the commentaries are split all over it, so we're, of course, only going to be looking at the Orach Chaim tonight, but vayavau ha'anashim al hanashim kol nediv lev, So the men came on the women, with the women, along with the women, behind the women, which one is it? What does it mean? Kol Nediv Lev, everyone who is, donating of the heart. Hey, Viyu, what do they bring? Chach, Vanez, Vtabas, Chumaz, Kol Kled Zav, these are different kinds of jewelry. We call Ish, Asher, Niv, Tinufas, Zahav, Lashem. So it keeps on defining here. Kol Ish, next Pasuk, Kol Ish, Kol Meirim, right? And then finally, in Pasuk Chaf Hey, it starts describing the women. V'chol Isha, go to the beginning of the next pasuk, V'chol Anashim, etc. The next pasuk describes Hanasiim, and then the last pasuk on the page, Kol Ish V'Isha, Asher Nadav Libam, right? So it's going back and forth between the men, the women, the men and women, and each person who has a skill, who has an ability, and the Nasiim are also thrown into this mix. Okay, so what's going on? Mm-hmm. So let's see what the Archon says. Yitzu Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael L'Pnei Moshe. Everybody went out. So the first point that comes out is that people went with Zrizus when it was their opportunity to gather what they needed to gather in order to serve God. That was the first.
Alacrity. So they went.
Yeah. Okay. That was the first point. Milufnei Moshe. Okay. They went out from Moshe. Perish milufanav. Kodim shitein lahem rishus laamod milufanav. And before he even gave them permission to stand from before. What does it mean? Agam de amrina biyoma she'en rishus talmud la'amod milafnei rabo elad shitein l'rishus, that a talmud does not have a permission to stand from before his rabbi until he's given permission. Danu Yisrael. So the Bnei Yisrael, they made a cheshbon. They thought this out. Ki gesha amar lam k'chum eitchem truma. When Moshe said, take from yourselves a truma v'gamar dvarav, and he concluded his words, ki ilu amar lahem imdu. When he finished what he was saying, it was as if he was saying, all right, ready, get up. O Efshar, ki ava sadavar kilkel ashura. That's the line that I want to, because he says the same thing, ava mekalkel sashura. He said the same thing at Har Sinai. Because I think it's when the people said, daver atoyimon. I don't remember, but the Aruch Chaim says it towards the end of Parshas Yisro as well, that the love of something just threw them for a mix. In other words, they weren't really supposed to stand without permission. But when Moshe finished, like, oh, let's go. So they weren't even thinking to ask for permission, and they were gone. Od nirash niskavnu lahakdim, leval yelech Moshe, v'yakdim lahavi kol atzarach mishalot. Love this. They said, we got to get out of here, because otherwise Moshe, he's going to donate everything.
Anything.
Ki ashir gadol haya. Because Moshe was very wealthy. Now, I don't know where they get this idea that Moshe is very wealthy. Where would they get that from? But anyway, v'cheshe gadolhu, ba'asos mitzvah Hashem, right, that what do they want to do? They just wanted to beat Moshe to the punch. And of course, when you read through this, you see that they did beat somebody to the punch.
The
who did they beat?
Nisim.
They beat the Nisim to the punch. Yeah. The last group mentioned, basically, is the Nisim. The fact that it doubles back in the last pasuk on the page, pasuk haftaz, to say, kol ish v'isha asher nadav libam, what does it say? That they already brought it. The Nisim are the last ones, because the people certainly beat Moshe to the punch, but they beat the Nisim as well. So this comment of the Aruch Chaim is really just meant to be an indicator of the value of Zrizus, okay, of going to do something for its own sake, to do it because it's the right thing to do it because it's a nedava, to do it because it's truma, and to fulfill one's commitment with Zrizus. Okay. I'm gonna skip Chaf Aleph now, because I really want to get to Chaf Beis, and I also want to get to some of the stuff towards the end. Okay? So what you'll see in Chaf Beis, which is really the pasuk which I just found to be fascinating, is that that's the Vayavohu Anashim Al Anashim. What does that mean? So you'll see that I noted and highlighted in the text in bold Aleph Beis Gimel Dalid Kol Tach Shitein Shehem, and then on the next page you'll see also Beis Gimel Dalid. Okay, so what the Aruch Chaim does is he divides. You'll see. Okay, as I said at the outset, we're learning this together. What does it mean when it says the men came al hanashim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is it? It's such an odd phrase. Mm-hmm. If you want to say that they came in front of the women, you say lifnei hanashim. If you want to say that they came from behind, you might say acharei. If you want to say they came together, you'd say im. What's this idea al? Oh, lama kafa lamar pamacheres kol nediv lev. Right, if the men and the women are both coming, then we understand. Kol Nediv Lev, it's everybody who made a donation, or everybody who made a pledge. Ulai, ki yodiyah kasev ofan nedivas lev, asher asu anshei achayel. He says that maybe with the anshei achayel, right, the great heroes here, or the great warriors, are donating, that ki davar yadua hu sheyesh hadragos be'ahavas hanachasim meim dalet. He says there are four ways that people love their possessions. Okay?
Okay.
Taking notes?
Yeah.
Taking notes. Ha'echad shebarishonos heim klei tachshite b'nei beiso shel adam v'klei b'ayis dvar mei eilu yigadel archam b'nei adam yikol kinyan kaspeo v'adavar pashu. He says the first thing is tachshite b'nei beiso. What's tachshite? Usually it's the jewelry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That they're in their house and everybody values them very much, and that's clear and that's obvious. Beis hazahav ki mikol kinyanim sheyeshtem b'olam yehav hazahav yoter mikulam. So first you have jewelry. And the way you love jewelry, and it's sentimental and all that, and you're going to think it's really valuable. I don't know if he's saying that it is valuable. He's saying you think it's valuable. Right? Yeah, it's sentimental, right? Priceless, right? Priceless could be worthless, but it's priceless, okay? Whereas zahav, gold, that is very expensive. Gimel, dvarim she'ena benimtza zulas etzlo, yigdama al sambe enav yoter mishir shavi. Right? What's that? It's something which is rare. Right? Nobody else has it except for me. Right? I got my Honus Wagner card. I don't have a Honus Wagner card. If I had a Honus Wagner card, if I had a Ty Cobb baseball card, right? That's very rare. So that's extremely valuable. In Daladim Sharkin Yane Adam, Kesef Ashava Kesef. And the fourth level, again, I don't know if there's a hierarchy, but a fourth way is just things which a person owns. Right? Money, Kesef and Shava Kesef.
Cash
and assets. Okay, so what does it do? It gives this to us in an order. The first thing is Yamar Vayavo Anashim Al Anashim. Perush Masha Al Hanashim. Now what does it mean? That they brought Hanashim Al Hanashim. They brought what was on the women.
So the jewelry now.
Right? Okay. The first thing it's telling us is that the men brought that which was on the women, which is group Aleph, the tachshitim, the jewelry. What they brought was all of the jewelry of their women. Etc. And the fact that the Pasuk says, right, remember, let's go back. Call Nidiv Lev Aviu. Okay? Ki yesh hefresh bein yedvenu libo l'nidiv lev. Okay, we had that. Call asher yedvenu libo. I don't remember, is it Yaviu or Taviu Eish Chumas Hashem? Yidvenu Libo, that's one thought process, and the Div Lev is one who is, what's something else he needs to explain. Yidvenu Libo Yomar Al Kol Asher Yisnadev Milibo, right? Al Kol Asher Yisnadev. When somebody's in the category of Yidvenu Libo, he's thinking about everything that he would love to give. V'yeshi Yidvenu Arbe. Right, some will have a thought process, I'm going to give everything, and some will have a thought process, I'm going to give a little. Aval nadiv lev yomar alev nadiv. What's a nadiv lev? It's not what his heart is pressing him to give. It's somebody who's actually donating his heart. Right, somebody who's a nidiv lev is giving more than he can afford. Somebody who's a nidiv lev is giving skill, is giving time, is giving beyond what a person can afford. Okay, and it you know, it's not just like, okay, you know, it's very nice if a person who has no money as a nidiv lev that I'm giving $100,000. Shkayech, it's nothing. Okay, but if a person, meaning, what does it mean? A person has $100,000 and the person gives can afford to give $5,000 and the person gives $10,000. That's an nidiv lev. Okay, again, you're not giving something you don't have, but you're giving something which is beyond what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the
idea. Is he saying that's gold? What is the equivalent? Which
I'm not
category?
Sure. Okay, we're going to see. And the person is samach when he's seen a yoter akinyan etzlov. Right, he's happy about this. But omro. Kol klei zahav perush lo tamar kilitzad shayilam. Turn over the page. Tachshitin who shaviu la shema kefil. Zamar kol klei zahav. Okay, so he says that it's not about the jewelry anymore. It's about kol klei zahav, all golden vessels. Shelo inichu lahem klei zahav, that they did not have any gold left over at all. Okay, so what does that mean? Right, if I have a golden bowl and a golden pitcher and a golden chalent pot and a golden whatever it may be, so you know I can afford to give the bowl for sure, but then I give up my pitcher and I give my chalent pot. I have no gold left. That's beyond. I mean, that those were big investments. Mm-hmm. He says, but that's kol klei zahav. There's nothing left. V'yamar chachma nezem shem hamin. Oh, you said kol klei zahav. L'mar shaloi nichu esim kol min klei zahav shaban yishashay adam l'kayim. Omro nagilu v'nischavach. Right, the whole point is that they're just giving everything, and this is, and they're happy about it. V'ulai kiremas v'omro al nashim sheviyum alehem. And maybe the hint is when it says al hanashim that they brought them alehem sheviyum alehem. They brought them on them. What does that mean? Uvoa lefne Moshe horidu et yam alehem unzanum l'chumas Hashem. That what happened was the men basically carried their women in, right? They're like, these are the most nedive leif, right? The most committed, the most dedicated. They want to give you everything that they own. And so how do you honor that? You carry them in on your shoulder. You carry them on a chair that you're carrying, whatever it may be. When they came before Moshe, horidu ed yamei alehem, the women took their own ed yam, their jewelry from upon themselves. And they gave it as a truma to Hashem. The women were so incredible that when the men brought them in, they brought the women on the men. That's what al vayavo. What is it? Vayavo anashim al anashim. That they were bringing them. I mean, it doesn't. I'm translating it wrong. Vayamro al anashim sheviyum alehem. That they brought it, or maybe they just brought it. It was on them. Maybe that's what it means. Al anashim, that the jewelry, not that they were carrying them. Mistake. Rewind. Okay? That they were carrying, and the women had the jewelry on them. And then they brought it. They just said, here it is. See, we're wearing it. It's ours. We love it. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Take it off. It's for the Mishkan. Hadar gebezi azov she'enu asui tachshit kineged mevi mebechin azo.
Well, they had given away all their own stuff, so they gave it for the eagle.
No, that's not clear. Oh, the men. Oh, the men had given. Okay, fine. Right, but the point is that the women were awesome. And now the women are saying, yeah, we didn't give it for that because we knew that was garbage. But now we're going to give it here. But they're giving everything.
It doesn't say that. He's saying that the men gave the stuff that was on the women.
I'm
not saying that the women gave.
I don't know. It says, Horidu Edyam Me Alehem.
Well,
I'm not sure. Right, so I'm not sure who the, because Horidu Edyam Me Alehem could be referring to the men, you're right. It could also be referring to the women, that the women did it. Vayavo Hanashim Al Hanashim, Vayavo, because it says Vayavo. If it said Vayaviu, then I would, or if we read it Vayaviu, then I would say it's a little more clear. Vayavo Hanashim, the men came, Al Hanashim, you know, so I'm not 100%. Okay, you know, Hadar Beis, he has Zahav, Shainu Asui Tachshi, Kinegara Mevi Mebechin Azo, Amar Bechol Isha Sherinim Tinufas Zahav Lashem. So a second level, I guess, is bringing gold, which is not in the form of jewelry. Gimel, Dvarim Shainu Benimtsa, Kihayu Bamidbar, Bein Shem Nimtsa, Tcheles V'Argaman, etc. So they had to bring things which they didn't have. And they didn't really have the purple and the Tcheles. So how did they get this stuff? What was the pasuk? Kalish. Kalish asher nivtinufas. Kalish asher nimtza ito tcheles v'agaman. Right. If these indeed are precious, you know, dyes, and that's our assumption about these things, then how would people have it? They must have been very sparingly available. And the fact is that people are bringing it. That is something which is unique, right? That's rare. And Dalid, Bumadrega Shalamata Mikulan, Bibchinas Hakinyanim Kes, right? So he says it's out of order. The order is, if Aleph, you have Beis, you have Gimel, and Dalid goes back to really lower than everything else, because that was Kesef and Chava Kesef. Amar, Komerim Chumas Kesef and Nechoshes, All right, anybody who could bring silver, or copper, whatever it is, it's not such a big deal. But the point is that every other thing that was needed beyond all the precious stuff, that is number dalad, which was mentioned last. Okay, so again, I mean, here what we're just seeing is that what the Aruch Chaim is pulling out of this pasuk is that there are hints and indicators to the different kinds of ways that people might have been donating, and that's what Vayavo Anashim al Anashim is one, Kol Nedivlev is another, Evi Chachmanazim is another, and Kolish Asher Nimtzai Tot Chelis, etc., bringing all the extra stuff, Kol Mirim Chumas Kesef Nechoshes, and all that's just an indicator of everything else. Vanasiim, Tzad Shabo Bachrona, Nichtu Acher Matve Aizim, Bechachmaz Nashim. Love it. The Nasiim, they brought last, so what are they mentioned even after? The women who are skilled at sewing goat hair. Shkoich. Have you been extra on the Dava Hashem? Hatar Meid Al Klaus Yisrael, Have you Nidvas Hashem Perish Davar Ro'i L'Karen Dava? I love this. You see, the fact that the Pasuk says, Kol Ish Visha, it's the last Pasuk on page 518. Kol Ish Visha Shere Nadav Libom Sam Lavi L'Chol M'lachash Yitzvah Hashem L'Asas B'Yad Moshe. Have you B'nei Yisrael Nidava L'Hashem? Okay? It said at the beginning of the Pasuk, Kol Ish Visha, every man and every woman. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, "Hey, viu b'nei Yisrael." So I think he's jumping on that. Hatorah me'ida al klalos Yisrael, right? The unity, right? The Torah is testifying to the unity of b'nei Yisrael. She viu nidvas Hashem perish davar aroy the Korean dava, that they brought basically as a group something which was worthy of being called a nidava l'Hashem. Okay, the last pasuk in this parak, which we're going to look at, is ulaharos. Okay, so when it describes Bezalel, and it describes the Ruach HaLukim that was put on him, we're on the top page 520, and the ability Lachshov Machashavos, and to do Haroshes Evan, right, the engraving in stones, and how to make stone settings, etc. Ula Haros, no san belibo. What is Ula Haros? Okay? So, the Art Scroll translates it, Ula Haros, is Pasuk, which Pasuk is it? Pasuk... So weird. Their numeration is weird. So it's 34.
I don't see it.
I don't know. In my chumash, Lamed Dalet is on the next line for Mileo Sam Chachmas Lev. Oh yeah, I have it one line off. Yeah, no, it's 34. So 34. He gave him the ability to teach him, right? Lahoros. Right, the ability to teach. So take a look at the Arachim. Perish the tzad sheyesh chachamim rabim shetiyeh chochmasam b'libam levad shelo yodu l'lamado. Okay? There are a lot of wise people who have a lot of wisdom, except that they cannot impart it. They don't know how to teach it. Zeh amar ulahoros nasam b'libo. Hiskil chochmas alimud. And he gave him the wisdom to be able to teach or to impart. Od ba l'shlomash kas be'paragim al-yuma shel right, there was a chevra of Kohanim, who knew how to make the lechem aponim. Remember, the lechem aponim was a really odd shape. Okay, there's a machlokes as to what the exact shape was, but it bent and it curved, and it was some kind of amazing shape. But the only way to do it was to have the particular knowledge of how to make the dough and how to form it, etc. So this family, they did not want to teach that. Shalbeis garmel lo ratzu lamed amai selech maponim. Shalbeis seftinas lo ratzu. There was another thing in the Mishnah which is described there.
Make the
Torah. What? How the Torah? That was. Vodiya kasuv ki al elu yomar zecher tzadik levracha ki al yumorim umlandim kol rotze. Okay, so what does that mean? That he's saying at the very end that really the appellation. It's so funny. We say zecher tzadik levracha for anybody. He says that maybe that appellation really only applies to somebody who is a teacher. Okay? Because if you have a skill and you can't impart it to others for selfish reasons, and that's the reason those families did not share their information, he says, then that is, that's to their disgrace that they would not share that kind of information. So what is somebody who is worthy of being called a Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha? Somebody who is Mora Umlame Kol Rotze. Teaches, shows, guides, anybody who wants. Okay, it's a fascinating nod to the teachers, who share the gifts which they have through teaching the knowledge and information. Okay, the last couple things which we're going to look at is what we've arrived at. And so Perek Lamed Vav begins on page 520, telling us, V'yasa b'tzalel v'aliyah v'chol ish chacham lev, v'asher nasan Hashem chachmah v'tzvunah bahima, das, lasos, eiz kum lachas, v'tzvah kodesh, v'chol ish yitzvah Hashem. B'tzalel and aliyah, and all, every ish who is a chacham lev, that Hashem gave them wisdom, understanding, etc., to know how to do the malacha of the avodas hakodesh, as Hashem commanded. So B'tzalel then calls, Moshe calls B'tzalel and Aliyah, and every ish chacham lev who has been given this chachma belibo, this wisdom in his heart, and they take the truma and they go ahead and they start to make everything. Okay? So the question is, Kasha. Right? If you look at the actual thing, the actual pasuk, describes how first it says Moshe, Bezalel, and Eliyahu, and everybody, they made the stuff. Okay, then if you keep reading, as I just did a moment ago, you see that it's only in pasuk Gimel that they take the items that had been gathered by Moshe. So how could the pasuk say that Bezalel made everything in a pasuk which clearly precedes they're even having the material? I love this. That's why I share this with you. It says, what did B'tzalel do? Is B'tzalel going to do everything in the Mishkan?
Of course not.
Of course not. That's the whole point of having all the Chachmei Lev, right? All these people wise of heart. But what was B'tzalel's extra special skill? That B'tzalel was a tool maker. Okay, in other words, everything that needed to be made for the Mishkan, they didn't have this is all new stuff. They've never made this stuff before. And there's different kinds of, I wish I could name some kind of obscure tools, but different kinds of wrenches and different kinds of hammers and different kinds of, screwdrivers and pile drivers and mallets or whatever it is that they need to make, that they need to have in order to be able to fashion the things that they need to fashion. And who's able to do that?
B'tzalel.
He says, that's what B'tzalel made.
So he gets the
schar
for that? For everything?
Because look at this. Read it. It's awesome. That he made the tools that they needed in order to make all the details of the malacha that Hashem commanded. And the Torah tells us the kelim of the Mishkan, which are needed. But the Torah does not instruct which tools, literal tools, are going to be used in order to make these things. So that's what the Torah is telling us when it says B'tzalel made. As kol melechus, in other words, what do you mean he made all the melechus? He made all the ability for the melechus, for all the work. Perish kelim shem melechus ma'isa avodas hakodesh l'chol ashitziva Hashem keish avodas hamatchos avodas klei eitz. Right, there's metal works and there's wood works. Avodas havanim and stone works v'ariga and the weaving. Right, everything that needs to get done, you need to have the proper kelim in order to make it happen. And say lamad ma'ashamuzah, the rabbi saying in the Gemara Shabbos, ki amem melachos, mem melachos meaning the 39 melachos, kulon hayu b'mikdash, they were all things which were done in the mikdash. U'me'anishma me'aksubim muvan ki b'yom echad echinu kol kleimus. So what's indicated in the pasuk is that v'as b'tzalel means that on that day, realizing what needed to get done in order for them to be able to start working right away with all of the nedavas which Moshe was going to be giving, that which had been gathered by him, can you imagine you're going to start a project? I used to work on the color war art, and so we never got anything before color war because we didn't know when color war was going to be. And then when we got color war, so we didn't know exactly, had an idea of what we needed to do. So the first thing we needed to do was buy all the supplies. Now, we didn't need tools. There were tools in camp. But the point is that before you need to have like a groundwork. You need to have an infrastructure, being able to build just because you have all the stuff. Right? I mean, La Havdil, when that hurricane hit Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. Or was it last year? I don't even remember anymore. So people sent tons and tons and tons of bottled water. They had no infrastructure for how to give out the bottled water. So I saw a news article a year later that tons of bottles of bottled water were still sitting in an open field somewhere. Okay? Because when you don't have an infrastructure, so that's the needed. So that's Bezalel's job. The job was to create the infrastructure.
So all the donations that were given were useless unless you had someone who could fashion them and you had to make
the
tools.
Or that you needed to have the tools. Right? Can you imagine? They bring all these material for weaving. You don't have a loom.
Yeah.
You don't have shtei batei nir. And, you know, what are you going to do? And so Bezalel, you know, go through Melech HaShavas, just the Melech itself. So you need to have a plow. You need to have a this. You need to have a this. You need, I mean, all the different things which are needed. Mm-hmm. That's what Bezalel's job was going to be.
But everything was created in one day. It's probable, at least to me, that this was part of what he was teaching. He was teaching others how to create the tools, because you would imagine there would be a large number of tools, and I would find it difficult to believe he could do that.
Right, agreed, agreed. So A, it's how to make the tools, and B, how to use the tools. Right? Yeah. Okay. Then is my favorite pasuk, or I shouldn't say my favorite pasuk, but it's the fundraiser's dream pasuk, right?
People restrain from giving.
Pasuk Zayin. I'm sorry. I mean, it really starts in Pasuk Hey, where they tell Moshe, Marbima Am Levi, the people bring too much, more than we need. And so they send out a message saying, stop bringing, right? We have enough. And so the people stop. And Pasuk Zayin, V'amalacha, Hisadayin, L'chol Amalacha, L'aso Sosa, V'oser. Okay? Which translates, the work had been enough for all of it to do it, and there was extra. Okay? Dayim V'oser, Hein Beis Dvarim, Hevchim, Im Dayim, Ein Hoser. Right? What do you mean? If they have enough, then there's no extra. Vim hoser, and if there's extra, then it's not dayam, it's not like they got the right amount. There's more. You can't say, it doesn't really mean, because they're in the same pasuk. And they're in one realm of talking. Sug aleph beis sugim. Basically, what he's saying is that there seems to be some kind of a contradiction when you say that there was enough, but there was extra. Well, which one is it? The old lawyer tzarich lamar dayim ela v'amlacha isa oseh l'chol amlacha. Don't say dayim. Don't say it was enough if it was extra. So just say there was more. It was more than needed. Okay. The oh, call custom mutar. The fact of the matter is, the whole pasuk is extra. We already know the people brought too much because they told it to Moshe. Marbim am lavi mi deavod elam lachab shita shalom rukan kain ad shesharu matzarik od lamar am lacha. The only way that they could know that there was more than enough was because as the stuff is coming in, they're taking inventory and they realize, wait a second, we knew how much we needed and we have more than that. So they come to Moshe. So to conclude it, to summarize afterwards, that it was enough and it was extra, totally unnecessary, superfluous. We know that already. V'ulai, he says, so maybe Hashmiyinu Akasu Chibas B'nei Yisrael B'nei to the page HaMakom. So we could see here the love of B'nei Yisrael in the eyes of God. K'tzad Shevi Yisrael Yoter Mishir Atzarech Chash Hashem L'chavod Kol Ish Shetarchu. That when God saw that they were bringing, God basically said, everybody who made the effort can come in and be involved in Melech HaMishkan. That basically, somehow, God made it work. That, yeah, there was more than enough, but, you know, can you imagine sometimes this happens, like, we say, we need volunteers. Okay, now the people who say we need volunteers, they say we need, you know, what they really mean is we need 10 volunteers. Okay, 30 people show up, like, too many people, right? Too many cooks.
In the kitchen, yeah.
Spoil the broth, right? So, we didn't need 30. I mean, thank you, but you don't want to turn people down, because then they're not going to volunteer next time. So you have to kind of find jobs. And he's saying is that God saw the nidvas leiv, the way that people were so dedicated, that they found work for everybody, and they made it work. It says it had to be a miracle that the guy needed. And, oh, look! All of a sudden, oh, it's the right amount. Oh, al zaderek v'hamalacha sheviu ha'isadayim lochaser v'loyoter. That what they brought was enough, nothing missing, nothing extra. Hagam shayisi yoter kfi emes, v'omro v'oser ki nasa nesu lo osir. Right? Even though, in truth, there was extra. But a miracle happened, and it did not, and somehow, you know, it worked out. Okay? Sometimes they happen. We have an event in the shul, and I have no idea how many people are going to come. And so I just, you know, we want to feed people afterwards. So you get food, and then you walk around afterwards, and it's like, there's like one cookie left on the table. There's like two pieces of fruit that nobody touched. Like, yes, you know, there's a little extra, but somehow it's perfect. Right? It's perfect. So that sounds like that's what it is. Okay, v'yasu kol chacham le'perush, agam she'osin rabim heim, even though those who are doing rabim heim, there are many people, av apikein ho'isim amalacha, nazis kilu asa adam echad. It was, even though there's a lot of people, it wasn't too many cooks boiled the broth. It was as if one person did it, and that person had full control over it, remember, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody is a perfectionist, for example, and wants to do something right, and say, you want it done right? Do it yourself. Okay? That's the way it turned out. That even though there were so many hands involved, that it was as if the person who did it was the one who did it right. Now, kavanah b'zeh, ki kesheyasu avlocha rabim al kopanim yishtayet torah melecha zeh mizeh. The fact of the matter is, everybody who comes in has a different skill set, everybody has a different style, right? It's going to just come out cockeyed. I mean, it's going to be a cockamamie project if so many people have their hands in it. Los damalacha. There's no comparison when a lot of people have their hands in it to that which is done by a single artist. What the Torah is telling us is that the work of the Mishkan was complete. Mm-hmm. Even in this litmus test, right? That somehow their skills were, I don't want to use the word robotic, but I'm going to use robotic, but they all worked the same way. Bizbonus achachma shavet. It was all the same. V'domim kulam ishechad, and they were as if they were one man working on it. And now we understand why, for all the details of everything that was done, it's written in the singular. V'lopirish mihu. You know how many times the parsha says vayas? I remember the first time I was at Vayak. I remember a friend of mine's bar mitzvah parsha was Vayakil. And I said, are you prepared? He's like, that word vayas is going to kill me. Because every single time, sometimes it has a pashto, sometimes it has a revi, sometimes it's, you know, every time it's a different trap. He's like, I can't take it. But that's what it is. The word vayas is all over the place. Who's the vayas? The answer is, it was the collective. But it was as if it was done by one person, which means that it looked like it was designed perfectly by a single artist. And it's clear that it can't go on Bezalel. There is no way that he did everything. When the pasuk says that Bezalel made the Aron, it's like, yeah, right. Okay, I mean,
well, he made the Aron.
Okay, now it could be he made the Aron, but if it says Vayas Bezalel Aron, then what's it saying? That's the only thing Bezalel made by himself. Okay, every other time it should say Vayas Bezalel. The fact that it doesn't means that he didn't. Okay? Chacham Lev, Yosem Lachael, Elai Shirmos, B'Shem, Imtsaus, Asiyasam Lachal, B'Sivasan, Asu Chacham Lev. I love this one also. Right? They learned on the job. They became Chacham Lev from working on it. They got their 10,000 hours of working on the Mishkan. They became outliers. Okay, there's my little Malcolm Gladwell reference. Okay, that through the emtsaus, right, through the medium of doing the actual malacha, they became chachmei lev. Okay, and they're guided by Laharos, right, the Bezalel's teachings, God's blessing of ruach chachma bina, etc. Vayasu, that's the pasuk in Alpha, was this? Vayas, No, I'm looking at the wrong pasuk. Pasuk vayasu pasuk in Aleph. Vayas l'os t'chilas. How's that right? Pasuk in Aleph.
No.
Maybe it's a typo. Anybody see? It's pasuk ches.
Yes.
Why is it there? Tam asher echzir akasuv kol pratim. V'lo ispik lomar vayas kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe al derech Amram. The fact that the pasuk goes back on all the details and doesn't say. Remember in Parsha Pekudei, next week's Parsha, you're going to see that they did everything kashir to Hashem Moshe. Here, everything is repeated. It goes through such tremendous detail. And again, it goes back to that concept of Ava. You know what he compares it to? Alterach Omram Zal, Bekefa Parshas Eliezer Eber Abram. When Eliezer has his story, and then Rivka comes out, and then he goes into Rivka's family, he tells them, here is my story, and Rivka came out. And it goes through every single detail. It could just be Eliezer comes in and says, hey guys, or the pastor could say, Vayisaper lahem es kol asher karalo, something like that. Like, you know, what happened, everything that happened. You already saw it at the pasuk. Goes through crazy detail. Why? Mitoch shechaviva alav kasva beis pamim. Because it was beloved to him. To whom? Well, to Eliezer, but who writes the Torah? To God. Kmochen gila kasva bin yamas ha-mishkan, chechaviva alav. Right, it was chaviva to God. L'zenech tabeis pamim. And that's why you see them. All the details coming out. Okay, so, you know, again, the concept of God loving the Jewish people and loving what the Jewish people do is prominent in the Torah, and certainly in the Chazal. You know, we see it in Rashi a lot in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, when the people are counted several times, right, because of God's love for them. The idea of counting the Bnei Yisrael at the end of Vayechi, right, when they came down to 70 and they left as Shishim Ribo, because God loved them, counts them over. Okay, so there are a number of indicators of that, and this is just another one in terms of going through all the detail of all the things that they made. We know what they made. It's been instructed. Yeah, God loves it. God loves it. Okay, now the last thing which I wanted to draw to your attention from here is
menorah.
Something, an insight about the menorah. So if you look in Perek Lamed Zayin, so. Okay, the pasuk says, let's see. He says, "Vayas is hamenorah zahav tahor." Okay, mikshah asah hamenorah yirechav kanag v'yakatrev rochem imenu ayu. It describes that the menorah was made out of pure gold, out of a solid piece, and it describes the menorah. I mean, the same similar kind of information is given regarding the other Aron. And the it's pasuk Zayin, it's shishi, but regarding the Aron and the Shulchan,
5:24.
Well, let's see what he says. Timtza b'chol ha'maase shidayek l'ashon ha'maasek l'ashon ha'mitzvah. Okay, so it says in the entire action here, it goes into details exactly the way it was commanded. But tzarek l'das lama shina b'menorah shebemitzvah amar menorah zahav v'kan amar es ha'menorah. Okay. It doesn't say Vayas Minoras Zahav Tahor. That's his question. Okay, it says Vayas Es HaMenorah. Okay, V'ulai maybe Kilufi Masha Amruzal BaAkomet Rabba Ki HaMenorah Ba Gam Me'amatachos Tichsib Te'aseh LeRabos. He says the Gemara Menachos tells us that the menorah could be made out of other metals. Okay, Zeh Hashem Minoras Zahav. So that's why the original commandment was make a menorah zahav, make a menorah of gold. Lamar kimashe hitir beribui ta'ase eino ella ledoros aval b'mishkan me'akev liyos zahav. Right, so what is it? We'd have to look back at the pasuk. But the idea is that the instruction to make the menorah left it open that it did not necessarily have to be made out of gold. However, where did it have to be made out of gold? No exception.
In the
Mishkan. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's why when the instruction says, Yasisa menorah zahav, that you have to make a menorah of gold, it says there's no room for any complication. Okay? That's the way it has to be. But when it says, Vayas is hamenorah, Zahav Tahor, it's saying that it's just showing that this menorah was that this particular one was made out of gold, and it could be that a different one will not be made out of gold, but the one from the Mishkan needed to be made out of gold.
Wasn't this the one that Moshe didn't know how to make?
It was stumped.
Yes, the Kodesh Baruch
Hu. Right. I mean, presumably, okay, but that's not the that's not the pshat of the pasuk. That's
somewhere else.
Right, Right, it is elsewhere, but it's not pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is vayasa menorazah of tahor. Right, and look, we can interpret vayas however we want. We could say vayas means Moshe. We could say vayas means Saul. We could say vayas means God. I mean, you could say it. But once you start doing that, like, why would you only apply that to what takes place with the menorah? Okay, Lamar Shane as Elul shows. Oh, al zaderech menorah zahav v'lo menorah sharmatchos hagam shech shartim l'kach lach. It says, or what maybe we're saying is that it's a menorah of gold and not a menorah of any other metal, even though it's kosher to be made that way. But again, in other contexts, v'dikduk ze, ein shaychus lo'diyah v'masa, elo'diyah shekeh mitzvah Hashem v'asa azahav v'avein. He says that we don't need to go into detail about how they made the menorah, you know, in that way. It just needs to be said that they fulfilled Hashem's mitzvah. Now, again, I mean, believe me, the Orach Chaim, in my font here, there were 7 pages altogether. Okay, but you have to look at Rashi in the parsha. Rashi does not have a whole lot to say in this parsha. Why? Because he said it already in Parsha's Truma. So everything he wants to explain, it's already been done. So I guess Rashi, you know, Ava mikalkalas is Ashura doesn't apply to Rashi in his commentary on this parsha. He didn't say, you know, I said it, but I'll say it all again. He said, nah, I said it already. And even the Orach Chaim, several times we saw that he said, I talked about it already in a different parsha. Parshas Kisisa, I spoke about it in Truma. I didn't give you when it describes the Ketores, the Mizbech of the Ketores, Orach Chaim says, you remember how I addressed this at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, how the Mizbech of the Ketores is out of place? Good, go look it up. You know, I already talked about it. So that's what you have in this Parsha. So in terms of, you know, major excitement stuff, you know, in any commentary, you're gonna be grabbing at straws. But hopefully, you know, a few insights, a few tidbits, and things to walk away with. I mean, even this question, is it such a big deal of a question? I don't know how many people even address it. Vayas is a menorah, when it said menorah zahav, you know, maybe most people wouldn't bother. But the Orach Chaim said, look, there's something here, so I'm going to raise a flag and I'll address it. Whether you like the answer or not, can't tell you. But hopefully we'll go with a little something tonight. Okay.